7. This is where the Lord has me this morning, and aside from wavering a little bit from time to time, this is where I thought the Lord would have me when Brother Roland asked me to preach. And my text will be Psalm 37 and verse 4. And the title of my message, Delight Thyself in the Lord. I love being back at Home Baptist Church with people that delight themselves in the Lord. I love being around people wherever it is, where people delight themselves in the Lord. It's so encouraging. And the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. If I was trying to make a catchy title that would appeal to the senses of men, I would probably entitle the message, Getting Everything You Want. And people would listen because they indeed want everything they want. And they want that now. But this passage has a great caveat to getting everything you want. Getting the desires of your heart. And the principle before that is going to be, delight thyself also in the Lord. And notice, and I brought this out when I preached it, the word Lord there in verse 4 is in all capital letters. Jehovah. Covenant-keeping God. And my conviction is that Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. And he says, the psalmist says, delight thyself also in the Lord. That covenant-keeping God, the one that in spite of me, He has given Himself for me. As a covenant-keeping God, He orchestrates a plan to redeem His people from their sin. And He keeps the plan. He keeps it exactly as He has intended. And He says, delight thyself also in the Lord. This will cause an incredible change. As I pick up from where Brother Hugin left off, as our focus is on Him, what a difference that comes over us. As our focus is on Him, our priorities change. The things that we count dear and important will, as the song says, grow strangely dim. As we delight ourselves in Him. And as I preached and am continuing to preach in the series back home of the Lordship of Christ, where this message originally came from, I'm reminded of Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And I'm not losing the theme here of delighting in Him, but I want to put it in perspective. Romans 14 and verse 9, as I thought on the Lordship of Christ, this passage certainly comes to mind. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord, both of the dead and living. Now, we see in verse 9 that He earned the right to be Lord, to be esteemed as Lord. He is Lord, and you don't make Him Lord. I'm sorry. You don't make Him Lord. God did it long before you showed up. He is Lord. Present tense, forever has been, forever will be. He is Lord. And the psalmist said, delight thyself also in the Lord. Now let's put it in perspective in Romans 14. There's here verse 7 and 8 where we are. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. We're not entities unto ourselves. We are answerable to the Lord. Verse 8, whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. Delight yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. Having put into perspective our relationship with Him, I am His. He saved me and He bought me with a price. The precious blood of the Lamb of God. Delight thyself in the Lord. Find in Him joy. Find in Him satisfaction. Find in Him fulfillment. The world looks for these things, joy, satisfaction, fulfillment, in stuff and in things and in people, or sometimes even abusing people. And find sick contentment in that sort of environment. The psalmist reminds us, delight thyself in the Lord. Esteem Him above all. Find the Lord as the priority of your life. Searching for Him, striving to serve Him. Delight thyself in the Lord. So I began to think on Psalm 37 and in verse 4 and thought, what does that look like in my life? To delight myself in the Lord. In Philippians chapter 3, we'll start in Philippians chapter 3. There's no question in my mind that Paul delighted in the Lord. No question that with every beat of his heart, he desired to serve the Lord. He desired to put Him first. He desired to preach His Word. He desired to encourage others to do the same. He desired to stand for truth. You read Galatians and you see how he stood so firm against tinkering with the gospel. And his desire was constantly in the Lord. And in the passage in Acts where I got to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what's going to happen, you know. But I got to go. And it's almost the sentiment, if I die, I die. If I get thrown into prison, that's what normally happens when I go somewhere. So I'm going, you know. And he delighted in the Lord above his own well-being. He delighted in the Lord on the ship. Thanks for the ride. Been a little bumpy and some of these professionals are a little queasy, but I know we're going to make it. And this man that delighted in the Lord in Philippians 3, I want you to notice verse 8 through 10. He said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Everything that I once held dear, rubbish. Everything that I once hated, I now hold dear. But it revolves around the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them as dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Can you delight in that this morning, to be found in Him? Amen. To have Him stand as your substitute. To have Him stand in your legal place. And Brother Hugin read 2 Corinthians 5:21. That in Him I have righteousness. I didn't have any. What I did have was described as filthy rags. But in Him, the one who stood in my place, the one who stood on my legal as my legal representative, to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him. Paul wanted to know the Lord. As I understand it and as I remember, this word in verse 10, that I may know Him, is the most intimate word. As the same word is used, if memory serves, that Mary at one point had known not a man. That intimate knowledge. Same word here as I understand it. I want to know Him. I delight in Him. I want to know the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, and being made conformable unto His death. Paul delighted in the knowledge of the Lord. Paul delighted in the Lord. And as I think on the Scriptures, and I think on the various things that we read in the Scriptures that the Lord's a part of, our Lord's had charge of, we see Him as Creator in John 1, other places. We see that without Him nothing was made that was made. And I can delight in Him as I gaze on the beauty of creation. Lord's blessed me to go to a couple beautiful places in my life, and I just look out at the awe and the beauty and say, wow, this just happened by chance. Oh, no. At my ordination, Brother Hugin mentioned that he was there, and I had planned this to see if Brother Jones would have a heart attack. He was my interrogator, and he was standing here, and I was standing here at the Wasion Church. And he said, tell us what you believe about creation. I said, I believe in the Bang Theory. And Brother Jones, he didn't know what to do with that. And I said, yeah, I sure do. The Lord spoke and bang, it happened. And Brother Jones was, I think he said something about getting even. I'm not sure. You can delight in the creative work of the Lord. Look at His creative ability. Look at His ability. And Colossians talks about Him sustaining it. I'm not worried about it falling apart. He's going to use it as long as He's going to use it, and then He's going to wind it up and put it away. He sustains it, and I delight in Him. And I want you to focus your attention, delight in Him, knowing Him as Creator, knowing Him as Sovereign of the universe, knowing Him that has His way in the whirlwind, knowing Him as Lord, Master of His creation. As I thought on this message, and delighting in the Lord, I thought of that touching scene in Song of Solomon. The Lord had withdrawn Himself, a situation the lady had prompted in Song of Solomon chapter 5. And she realizes the Lord had withdrawn Himself and charges the daughters of Jerusalem, tell me where my beloved. Have you seen my beloved? Do you know where he is? Have you seen my beloved? You tell me where my beloved is. Have you seen my beloved? Tell me where he is. And the daughters of Jerusalem are probably rolling their eyes when they say, what is thy beloved above anybody else? The daughters of Jerusalem are probably going, he's just a guy like every other guy. What do you care that he's gone for a little bit? Enjoy it. But she's frantic. She's moving about town, charging the daughters of Jerusalem. Tell me where my beloved is. And they say, why? And she said, let me tell you. And she begins to describe him. And she begins to describe his locks. And she begins to describe his features. And she goes on to describe his legs and his feet. And finally, at the end of chapter 5 in Song of Solomon, she says, it's altogether lovely. There's nothing in him that's wrong. And the daughters of Jerusalem must be going, oh, who? Huh? But it's an illustration and a picture. She realizes now he's altogether lovely. Delight in him who is altogether lovely. There's not one flaw in the character of God. There's not one flaw in the attributes of God. There's not one weakness. There's not one part that you kind of say, you know, that all of us, we have friends or we have spouses or we have somebody that we know and we're close to, but we know there's that one thing. Or in my case, my wife has maybe several things that she knows. And praise the Lord, she loves me anyway, but there's that thing. He doesn't do well in this or whatever. There's that one or two or 20 flaws. There was no flaw in him. People preach sometimes the justice of God or the wrath of God as a flaw. It's not a flaw to judge sin. It's not a flaw that his righteous indignation may well up and he takes care of business. He has no flaws. Delight thyself in him who is altogether lovely. Delight thyself in him. Turn with me to Romans 8:28. Romans chapter 8. Delight thyself in the sovereign providence of an almighty God that is able to take everything and weave it together for the good of his people and his glory. Can you imagine the things that we can read in the scriptures? Can you imagine Joseph? In the Old Testament, Joseph. Can you imagine what his brothers were thinking and the various things they did to Joseph? Can you fathom that kind of animosity? Can you fathom that kind of resentment and hatred to your flesh and blood? Can you fathom what they did to him and then have years later have the scene in Pharaoh's house that the brothers show up and they realize, dude, that's Joseph. We're so dead. And they could have been. He had the authority, as I understand it. That's Reuben. It's Joseph. No. And you have that amazing testimony of a man who had delighted in the Lord in Genesis 50 and verse 20. As Joseph tells his brethren, fear not. what you meant for evil. And you did evil. And you will be responsible before God with what you did. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. Can you delight in a God that has the ability to pull all those pieces and threads together and work it together for your good and for His glory? And that's just an account that we can find easily in the Scriptures. That sort of thing goes on in innumerable ways and in all of the lives of God's people. Many times we don't know it, but we know that it's true. Can you delight in the Lord of creation? Can you delight in the Lord who is altogether lovely? Because He is. Can you delight in Him that works all things together to good, for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose? Lovingly and perfectly, never missing a detail, never having one tidbit slip through the cracks. And how many times in your life have you had situations and you thought, that would have worked out great if that would have been sweet if this would have happened, but it didn't, so, you know, bummer. The Lord never had that experience. The Lord never once said, "Oh, we were close. That could have been so sweet, but it didn't quite work like I thought." Didn't quite work like the Lord thought? Never possible that He works all things. Not that we enjoy necessarily all the details of all those things. Paul prayed to have that thorn removed multiple times. It wasn't the will of God. Job, in the illustration we heard last night, Job said, "The Almighty doth trouble me. The arrows of the Almighty are within me." He knew that at the end of the day, all that was going on in his life had to come through the sovereign fingertips of God. We can read in Job 1 and 2 that Satan approached God and said, "Let me at him." And God said, "Well, here's the rules. You can touch him. Well, first, you can touch everything that he has, but you can't touch him." And the maniacal plan that he had caused him to get down and down and down and down and lower and lower and lower. And then, at the end of that horrible day, comes the news, when he doesn't think his day can get any worse: "Your children are dead." How devastating. And to have him say, have the Bible text tell us that he rent his mantle and worshiped God. "Naked I came into the world, naked I'll leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Can you delight in him as Job did, where he says, isn't it in chapter 23? I want to make sure that I get this right, and I'm sure it's chapter 23. So we'll turn there with me if you would. He says, verse 13, he is in one mind. Job speaking, talking about the Lord, he is in one mind. And who can turn him? What his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Wow. What faith. And many such things are with him. Therefore I am troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. But remember what he said in verse 10. Look up in verse 10. He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I know this is going to be for my good. Ah, what happens to come forth as gold is some purging. But Job delighted in the Lord. His attention was on the Lord. His attention was not self-centered, but God-centered. And God said so in the first chapter, that was his focus. He feared God and hated evil. He delighted in the Lord. Look at the life. Look at the testimony. Look at his ability to see through the circumstances and see when the only thing a natural mind could see is pain and anger and hurt and disappointment. Job saw God. He delighted in the Lord. May God help us to delight in the Lord, who works all things perfectly together. That, as I thought on that and continuing to try to ask and answer the question, how do I do that? I learn about Him. I focus my attention on His perfect character and His perfect attributes, and I try to get into the Word of God, and I begin to study who He is and how He operates. And I see, like Song of Solomon's testimony there in that chapter, fifth chapter, that He's altogether lovely. And I continue to dig into the Word of God, and I see the One who is in sovereign control. And that comforts me. It comforted Job. How could anything comfort Job? But knowing that God was ultimately in control comforted Job. When humanly speaking, there couldn't have been any comfort to find. He found it in the Lord. And in Psalm chapter 1, I continue to ask and try to answer the question, how do I delight in the Lord? By delighting in His Word. Psalm chapter 1, and it comes with such a tremendous promise. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. We're thinking on Psalm 37 and delight thyself also in the Lord. You can't delight in Him and not delight in His Word. This blessed man of Psalm 1, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, I'm a little like Brother Hugin. You get to preaching on some do's and don'ts and the law of the Lord. You'll get somebody say, "Now, brother, you got to focus on keep the main point, the main point. You know, don't get off out there and all that stuff that a Christian ought to do." But the Great Commission does say, teach them to observe. Not just to know them and know they're there. Yeah, that's what the Bible said. No, observe it. Follow it. His delight's in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. It makes sense. You delight in the Lord, you delight in His Word. Most of us, even grandpas, most of us carry around a device that has access to literally anything at all times. Most of us carry around a device that we can use for a tremendous amount of good or a tremendous amount of bad. What do you delight in? When you can go back and look at your screen time totals, I don't know if the phone does this or not, but it probably does. And I'm sure Google does. Break it down into the categories of what was on the screen time. What, when you were on it, what you were digesting. What do you delight in? Is there more time devoted to various hobbies? Is there more time devoted to politics and various pursuits of that nature? Is there more time devoted to out and out sinful viewing? What is it that your delight is in? Psalm 37 said, delight thyself also in the Lord. This text in Psalm 1 says, this blessed man, his delight's in the law of the Lord. The Word of God. The instructions for life. And it's hard. But our priority needs to be on staying, keeping our mind saturated in the things of God, staying in the book. And we've got it easier now than we've ever had it. I don't go anywhere without my Bible because it's clipped onto my hip or one of my Bibles. And now I have it where I can have it read to me as I'm driving down the road. Nothing new. But we could soak our brains in the things of God. We could saturate our souls in the things of God. And so many times we just don't. Turn the radio on. Listen to garbage music. Or listen to depressing news and politics. Even if we turn it to sports, and I've gotten to the place I can't do that anymore, they've gone and ruined that. Even if you get it to the place where you tune it into sports, keep it in perspective and put the Lord first. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Back in our text here, we're in Psalm 30, come back to Psalm 31, I'm sorry, 37. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Now with that context, with that first prerequisite, then the verse goes on to say, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Once the desires of your heart have been wholly reshaped by God, I desire to know Him. You keep studying, you'll learn more about Him. I desire to know more about His sovereign providence. You keep studying the book, you'll see it all. He uses hornets to get His way done. He has no problem getting His will accomplished. You keep studying. You desire to know more of His law. You keep reading the book. Some of it will sink in. You desire to be a blessing to others. You keep looking to Him. He'll give you opportunity to be a blessing to others. And on and on and on it'll go when the desires of your heart are shaped by delighting in Him. When the desires of your heart are shaped by the knowledge of Him. When the desires of your heart are shaped by the law of God. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And it's got to start here. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. I want you to notice with me verse 20. Very familiar. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Paul's quick to say, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Can you in your imagination see the glowing face of this apostle as he pens these words? I'm crucified with Christ. The old me's dead. Nevertheless, I'm still alive. Yet not I. I didn't do this. I'm not the cause of it. I'm not the source of it. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, at Brother Hugin's, that phrase captured my attention at the last meeting we were at Flat Rock. The life which I now live. Oh, it's a different thing now. This apostle who had delighted in the Lord. The life which I now live, it's a different thing. Different priorities. Different attitudes. Different focus. Different pursuits in my life. Delighting in the Lord will change all of those things. The life which I now live in the flesh. He was not unaware of the fact that he's still in the flesh. Read Romans 7. He was wholly aware of his flesh and hated it. And exclaimed, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? O wretched man that I am. He said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now can you delight in this? Who loved me and gave Himself for me. If you can't delight in that, there is a serious problem. Can you look to Him in faith? Can you believe on the one that God sent to save His people from their sins? Can you believe on the one begotten of God sent that any and all who believe shall not perish, but have everlasting life? Can you delight in Him? Paul did. I do. Many in this room delight in the one that they can say, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We started in Rome. One of the first passages we called was Romans 14, 7 and 8. I'm not my own. I'm His. We need to be reminded of that. And delighting in Him is a great reminder of that, because you remember He loved me and gave Himself for me. And you believe on Him.